Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What makes North Texas such a great place for foodies, and what tastes and trends are inspiring the area's most influential cooks lately? As editor and publisher, respectively, of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth magazine, Terry Taylor and Nancy Taylor have become intimately familiar with the region's approach to food, from farms and gardens to artisan producers and markets to restaurants and home kitchens. And they've brought together some of their most interesting source and recipe discoveries in a deeply local, lavishly illustrated new volume called Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook. Ladies, welcome to Think.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? Great to be here.
Great to be here.
What makes community cookbooks such a vital tradition even now?
I think that we want right now this comforting feeling. I mean, food is comforting. We want to gather at the table together. There's, you know, since the beginning of time, that's what people do. And I think the trend now, besides just healthy eating, is that we want to know who our farmers and ranchers are. We want to know who our food artisans are. We want to know the people in our community producing our foods. And the chefs have kind of led that drive, too, by being really on board with that. And we're happy to have the magazine and now the cookbook to kind of, push that forward.
I love the idea that we have expanded our vision of what Texas cooking is from beyond. Not that we don't love cornbread and, you know, barbecue and things like that. But I think we've become comfortable with the idea that we're more than that.
Well, I think, you know, when I was researching the cookbook, I mean, I had Nancy founded the magazine before I came on as editor. And I think for me, looking at the cookbook was a great education of thinking, what are our food traditions here? I mean, I thought I'd been writing about it, but to really think, you know, a lot of, we do have a lot of Southern traditions in our cooking, you know, and the Gulf Coast is there, and we have Creole and Cajun food, and a lot of people in East Texas are very attached to, you know, their Louisiana neighbors. And then we have the Western side, you know, on the side of Fort Worth with the Cowtown and chili peppers and Southwestern cuisine that was so beautifully started, you know, by Stephen Piles and Dean Fearing and others here in North Texas back in the 1980s. So we've got a great history in our region.
So Nancy, how does it work with the magazine? Because I didn't realize there were other edible magazines in other parts of the country. How do you sort of come in and say, okay, we're going to really make this one about Dallas and Fort Worth and the surrounding community?
Well, Edible Dallas and Fort Worth is part of Edible Communities, which is now 70-plus magazines in the United States and Canada. Edible Dallas Fort Worth was number 50. And so I bought the region in the North Texas region in 2008 and started the magazine in 2009 in spring. So we all write about stories about our own regions and about local food, our food artisans, our farmers, and our ranchers. And we each have a specific area we write about. There's Edible Austin, Edible Boston, Edible Santa Fe. And so that's basically how it works.
And I would imagine that it is not hard to find people who are really excited to participate in this. The illustrations are beautiful. There's really a lot of care taken with making it local. And it doesn't just feel like you've dropped in something, you know, and just inserted the name of a local restaurant.
Right. We have such a great group of writers and photographers, and Terry is the editor of the magazine, and they all just seem to just rally together and just have come up with some wonderful ideas. And a lot of the ideas come from, too, just traveling to the farmers markets and this type of thing. But, yes, everybody works together very well.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
And I appreciate Terry as the editor of Edible. She's done a great job.
I want to say, too, I want to add, there are so many people that have been with us since the very beginning that, you know, I mean, as you know, writing and creative things aren't always, you know, the best paid things in the world. But, I mean, if I look, I started going through and reading some of our issues from the very beginning before I was editor. And it's amazing how many people, the freelance writer Kim Pierce, who's been with the Dallas Morning News, we called her right at the beginning when we were having a planning meeting. And she had been writing about this scene long before we were here. And she was on board right away as a big part of putting the cookbook together. And it's people like that, the different advertisers like North Haven Gardens. But I think of different people that have been here with us at the beginning. I mean, just jumped right on board and have been so supportive.
So in the cookbook, there's a feature about J.T. Lemley, who's this farmer in Canton, and he sells at the farmer's market.
Everyone loves J.T.
Yeah. Talk about his sort of passion for growing food the old-fashioned way.
You know, I think putting the cookbook together, one of my jobs, this was a very much of a joint effort, but one of my jobs is doing these 10 profiles and driving out and actually spending time with each person. And And JT, I mean, JT is a fixture at the Dallas Farmers Market. The Dallas Farmers Market in its current location is 70 years old, and JT's been there 35 of those years, which is amazing. And he loves what he does. I mean, he comes in, you know, three times a week from Canton and with his dog, Lucy, and he's at the midnight markets, and he's there. His tomatoes are amazing. The chefs love him. And he has a real passion for what he does. And people have a passion for him, too. They love him.
And there's been a real growth in the farmers market movement in this part of the country. And you write about local yokels, and you can tell us about that in a minute. But there are like dozens of farmers markets now around.
Well, since I started the magazine in 2009, we've probably seen a 50% increase in the farmers markets in the North Texas area. And it's great. I think that people are coming back to the point where they really want to know where their food is coming from. They want to meet the farmer. They want to ask what they put in the soil, or they want to find they really love it, enjoy the markets. But there's a lot of great markets that have popped up around there, and I think all the neighborhoods need them.
I always think it's interesting that when you go to the farmers market, they never seem too much in a hurry to talk to you about what they have, and they're actually excited to talk
right.
about this stuff.
Truly slow food.
Yeah,
right.
It is
yeah.
slow food.
Are there tips for making sure that you know, there are some food distributors that are at farmers markets in the area? Are there tips for making sure that you're really getting something that, if not absolutely local, is certainly fresh?
I think you just need to be an intelligent consumer, and I think you need to go in and ask questions. If that's your, some people will like to go to farmers markets just to buy produce and fruit. But if you really want to know, get to know your farmer. Go visit the farm, you know. Or if somebody has a CSA, go and visit them and exactly find out
and ask questions.
That's the main thing, is to ask questions.
CSAs, those are community-supported agriculture?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big trend these days as well. I mean, are people finding ways to make it work if, they don't really know necessarily from week to week what they're going to receive?
I think you have to be, and I think the consumer is getting a lot more adventuresome. I think back when we were little, everybody wanted predictability. You know, processed food, there's a lot of predictability in processed
foods. Box of Kraft macaroni and cheese is
always
the same.
Our mom would go to the grocery store, do her Saturday shopping, and it would last all week. And I do think you have to be aware. I mean, you don't want to waste food. You don't want to order things have things you're not, you need to be willing and understand cooking, and which, again, it's very basic. These are, you know, all the flavor comes from, these things are natural. They're not processed. So, but I do think, you know, you have to get on board to cook, you know.
Right. And you have to realize, you know, each season's going to be different.
Right.
And it's basically you're supporting your farmer, but you get so excited when you get your share that week and to see what you can do with it. And I think it is becoming a popular way for people to get involved with knowing their farmer and cooking for the
seasons.
And what
a great way for family. I mean, families right. too, you know, just, I know when my kids were growing up, it seems like we were always rushing places. And I think you have to take a deep breath, and even if it's on the weekends, and stop and say, okay, we're going to do this as a family. And it's not one person slaving away in the kitchen anymore. It's a family event. There's so much kids can learn from being a part of all that, the growing and the cooking.
There's a lot of great honey available recently. I mean, I've lived here for 13 years, and I feel like it's more readily available in a lot of different places. Can you talk about the Texas Honeybee Guild?
Well, Brandon and Susan Pollard are amazing. They're profiled in the book, in our cookbook. We are in love with them. And I did my, of course, we see them regularly. They're at every farmer's market. Sometimes they're always decorated in their bee, you know, paraphernalia and stuff. But we met on the terrace of the pyramid, the Fairmont Hotel, and Chef Andre Natera was up there, and that's where one of their, I think they have 100 hives now around in Dallas County. And, you know, to think that we've got this urban hive, you know, up on the terrace at the Fairmont is very cool. And the bees, you know, it's been difficult with bees. They've been going through, you know, it's been kind of a challenging time. And there's certain things with hives, you know, not thriving. But these two people they call themselves bee-vangelists. And they are, you know, they're the advocates for these angels of agriculture. And it's very important that we take care of our bees. But Brandon and Susan are amazing.
And they have hives in different parts of the city. That, like my son, for example, it's one certain zip code. And so he buys honey from them, and he swears it has cured his allergies. And so there's something very beneficial about honey.
Zip code honey, right?
Yeah.
And I love the idea that bees are sort of canaries in the coal mine for the environment as a whole.
Right. And I think, you know, again, Brandon and Susan are the biggest advocates trying to go out and educate people. And it's still sort of a mystery what's going on, but we know that we can't neglect them.
We are speaking this hour with Terry Taylor, who is editor of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth magazine. Nancy Taylor is publisher of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, and they've got a new cookbook out called Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. Stepping into the studio now is our own Jeff Whittington. He's senior producer of Think and host of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. And I think we're probably really in that danger zone that I talk about sometimes during membership campaigns, where the guests and the topic is so interesting that people think, oh, I don't want to miss a single moment of this conversation. And that's why I'm forced to enter the studio and and make us take a
quick
break.
Not too interesting when you and I are talking.
That's right. Because we do actually have some business to do today. Chris, we have a challenge during Think Today from the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group. They will give KERA a $1,000 grant if we can hear from 200 listeners with a contribution at any amount during the 2 hours of Think Today. So it's 100 contributions per hour, either at 888-694-6931 or online at kera.org.
You can receive a copy of this absolutely gorgeous new cookbook, Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook, when you make a contribution during Think Today of $120, or more, $10 a month. And that will make you a sustaining member if you do the monthly membership. And the cookbook is yours as our thank you.
The book is out. As Nancy and Terry were telling me as we were walking up from the front of the building, it's out. It's in store. You can check it out. We'd love to be able to welcome you into the KERA membership family with a $120 contribution. And we'd love to send you a copy of the book as a thank you. You could kind of get two things done at once. So call now, 888-694-6931, or go online to kera.org and make your contribution. Full disclosure, my wife does have her grandmother's chocolate pie recipe in the book.
She's the only home cook featured in the cookbook.
Really?
I believe
wow.
So. Yeah.
It's on page 136.
Just in case you're paying attention.
If anyone's looking.
It looks like a great recipe, and of course it's made with eggs that you guys raised, the chickens the parents of yourself.
Our children chickens?
Yes, your child chickens. How many child chickens do you have these days?
Seven.
Seven.
We have seven chickens
right
now.
That beats my four kids and a dog.
We've got dogs and cats too, so I think we may have more souls.
But you're not paying for college.
That's right. Our dogs don't go to school. They're supposed to go to school, but we let them skip quite a bit.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number if you would like to support the station, and especially if you would like to receive a copy of the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth Cookbook. Remember, we are working on this challenge today. During the 2 hours of Think, we would like to have 200 contributions. We need to have 200 contributions in order to receive an additional $1,000 from the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group. Really want to thank them for their generosity. Hope that we will be able to take them up on that. Remember, you can also make your contribution online at kera.org.
We're making some progress, Chris. Our goal of 100 contributions per hour. Well, we're down to 83 contributions necessary still in this hour to stay on track. That's to make the goal of 200 total contributions from you and you and you and some of your friends and even strangers. But we need all of you to respond today during Think. You have an opportunity to get this fantastic Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook, your very own copy when you join the station with a $120 membership. And don't forget, everybody who calls, everybody who contributes, is entered to win this Discover Down Under 11-day, valued at $11,000 Australian getaway. It's going to be an incredible trip. You've heard us talk about it all week, but you're still getting entered into that, even if you decide you want to be thanked with this edible cookbook.
You can take the cookbook, make up some Texas caviar, bring it with you to Sydney. It works out beautifully. You can spread some Texas
culture.
What
a deal.
Great deal. Usually cookbooks are very popular during fundraising campaigns. This is a really gorgeous one, and it's all about North Texas, which is really wonderful. 1-888-694-6931 is the number, or kera.org online.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a graduate education flexible enough to allow you to explore what matters most to you. More at smu.edu/MLS.
Yeah. You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Terry Taylor, who is editor of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth magazine, and Nancy Taylor, publisher of the magazine. They have out a new book called Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question about sourcing your favorite local foods, perhaps talk about a recipe or see if there's one in the cookbook, give us a call. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. The fall issue of the magazine has a fascinating piece on community gardens, which have become such a staple in a lot of North Texas. I had never heard about the Live Oak Community Garden before.
Well, actually, I hadn't either. As the editor of the magazine, I teach one day a week, a volunteer teach at Vickery Meadow Learning Center. And another one of our writers, Lisa Orwig, was doing a story on the Mexican squash chayote. And I was carrying it around in my purse because I wanted to ask if any of my students from Mexico were, what they would say when I showed it to them. What I didn't expect is that four women from Bhutan would come around the squash and start looking at it and call it something completely different, which was the word iskus. And it just made me aware at that moment that, number one, this was something they'd grown in their homeland, but also, you know, I started inquiring and realized that these women were working down at a community garden quite far from Vickery Meadow, Live Oak Community Gardens down Fitzhugh and Live Oak. And they had this amazing, it subsequently led to me working with International Rescue Committee, Jim Stokes, and a translator who we went down there and had this wonderful meeting down in the garden.
It must be wonderful for people who have come from other parts of the world, and there are people from Nepal who also work at the garden, being able to raise things. Maybe they don't have land at home to grow things on, but they can grow things that remind them of home.
That, definitely. There's some things growing down there. I mean, I certainly was not familiar with, and a beautiful part of this circle is that they have, they're selling their things at White Rock Local Market, and actually passing out recipes. So when we're in the garden, one of my students, Booty Rye, was peeling off pumpkin vines. I was eating pumpkin vines, and they had a whole recipe for what they do with pumpkin vines. So maybe some of the things are familiar, but they do different, you know, they might have different recipes for them. They use different spices. Tia Lambert, whose husband, Don Lambert, is very involved in community gardens around town. We were talking the other night, and she was talking about, these ladies from my class are vegetarians, I'm not, but she was talking about some of the interesting things that they grow and that they sometimes have to be more creative, I guess, with spices, and the things they were growing were a little bit more unusual, and we were talking about just, you know, that, again, I think our palates now, or maybe we're getting more adventuresome. We're willing to try different things.
And it is exciting that we can find a greater variety of food. You mentioned chayote, which I think there was probably a time when you could find it only in Mexican markets, and now it's kind of creeping into a lot of other places.
It's everywhere.
I found it in Bandera the other day.
Really?
Yes.
And so it's I confess I haven't tried it, even though I grew up on the border. Is it very mild?
It tends to take on the taste of whatever it's cooked with. One of my favorite recipes is in this issue, and I went and visited, along with Lisa and Nancy, we went to the restaurant Mezamaya, and Nico Sanchez, who is their chef, made us this beautiful display of various things with chayote. And one of my favorite go-to soups that I'm going to start making, it's a chicken vegetable soup with chayote, and it just, he thinks in seasonings differently than we would. I mean, there's mint in there and some oregano and just different things that, you know, I wouldn't think of putting in my regular tortilla soup.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number, or you can email think@kera.org. We are talking to Terry Taylor and Nancy Taylor, editor and publisher of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook, also Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Magazine. So I'm always interested in fall recipes, and there is a wonderful one in the cookbook for like a sautéed kale. I had never thought about putting nuts and cranberries and things like that with kale.
Yeah, that's from John Stout Celebration Restaurant. Celebration's been around for 40 years, I believe. Nancy, isn't that right? It's a very simple recipe, but to put cranberries, or you could even put golden raisins or whatever in there. I mean, there's so many, just to give it that little sweet, savory sort of mix.
Was it hard going? Is it hard going to the best chefs in town and saying, give me a fantastic recipe and share exactly how it's made?
I think all the chefs were great. They really, really wanted to be a part of it and support Edible Dallas and Fort Worth. And I think there's some wonderful recipes. What was your experience, Jerry?
Well, my experience is it was a group whirlwind project of about 8 weeks, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And so there are some, I guess, if I have any regret, I mean, I was making a list today of all the different chefs in there, and it's just this amazing list. There are a few that I wished we had, you know, nabbed, it was done in 8 weeks last summer in the middle of summer. So there were three people that came in sort of belatedly, and we had already, you know, we already had passed our deadline. But, you know, I think the biggest challenge was that it had to be an unpublished recipe. It could have been in our cookbook, I mean, our magazine, but a lot of these well-known chefs actually have their own cookbooks. So
these are all recipes that have not appeared elsewhere.
Correct. They may have been on a blog. They may have been in our magazine, but they haven't been published elsewhere.
Talk about the photography, because this is something I know for people who read cookbooks for entertainment, it's become pretty much a requirement that there are really good pictures of everything.
Carol Topalian, who is one of the two founders of Edible Communities, Tracy Ryder and Carol Topalian founded Edible Communities 10 years ago in Ojai, California. And Carol is responsible for every one of the photos in here. The food testing, as I said, was done at their test laboratories, and she did the direct shots of the food there. She came in the middle of the drought with, you know, this is a California woman who's coming in the middle of the Texas summer. Mm-hmm. And we did our whirlwind trip around Texas, shooting the scenes and the subjects of our profiles. And she was a trooper. And the photos are just beautiful.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number if you'd like to ask a question, perhaps, about a local recipe, local source for local food, or if you want to share a favorite Texas recipe. So my kids went crazy this summer for peaches from Texas, and so I was really excited to see lots of different things to do with peaches, especially those grilled peaches with balsamic vinegar.
Right. There's several peach recipes in here. I believe the one you were referring to is Katie Lopez's recipe for grilled peaches, and you've had those. That Katie's made those for you, right?
Yes, they're delicious.
They're fabulous.
Yeah, very
fabulous.
Good.
And another one, grilled watermelon, which I would never have thought to try. And I guess the texture changes completely when you put the stuff on a grill.
That recipe came from horticulturist Leslie Halleck over at North Haven Gardens. And when I saw the recipe, I was like, this is so fun. This is great. So I didn't want it to sound like it was something fishy, but she said, you know, there's 3-inch watermelon squares. And when you put them on the grill, they take on this texture of sort of a tuna steak, but none of the fishiness, of course. And then I believe it's mixed with arugula and goat cheese. I think you do these stacks.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fantastic.
But yes. Uh-huh.
And I guess it probably, some of the water cooks off, but then you still have a really...
Right. It develops a little bit of a firmness.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think the first recipe in there that I marked was Texas caviar. And this is like something that you have to know how to make if you live in this part of the country.
This recipe came from Kelly Yandell, who is, again, one of our angels in the cookbook. She has a blog called The Meaning of Pie that's amazing, but she test cooks most of the recipes, or quite a few of the recipes, for our magazine. And I admit, I have made this twice, and I hate to tell you this, I made some for you, but I forgot it. It's in my fridge. I need to bring it back.
That's quite all right. I've got the recipe here, and it'll be perfect.
So I'll have to eat it for you. I'm sorry.
What is the process of a test kitchen? I mean, do you make stuff 5 times? Do you make it 10 times? Do you make it once and think, well, this will work? How does that work?
We make it once in terms of the magazine. I mean, most of these recipes obviously are coming from, you know, very reputable sources. Yeah. They've been tested many times. If you take Jeff's wife, Nicole, I mean, this was her Mimi's, you know, chocolate pie recipe. I mean, many of these in her have family origins that they've been tested a million times and are much beloved. And my greatest fear was when they went to the test kitchen that things would be tweaked, you know, for the book and that somebody's, my grandmother said. But, and I think in terms of the chef recipes are more of a challenge because chefs are artists. They don't cook by recipe. And so when you actually have, I did not realize recipe writing was so difficult. I'd never done it before, but things have to be very orderly. And And you're not cooking for 1,000 people. You're cooking, you know, for an intimate group of
four. They'll say things
four.
Like a bunch of parsley.
Yeah.
Okay, they want to know,
they know
what kind
they
of parsley,
want.
What, you know, do you chop the stems off? So it gets very technical in terms of the recipe writing part, portion of it.
Yeah, and I guess, if you know, the more, the less familiarity people have with being around food, it might not occur to them to say chop the ends off the parsley or something.
No, and whether you say, I'm trying to think how I articulate this. If you say chopped onion or onion comma chopped, which took me a while to get, it's like it's different. If I take a half.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how is it different?
Well, if you say a half a cup of chopped onion, mm-hmm. the onion's already chopped, right? So if I say a half a cup of onion comma chopped.
Oh, it's the quantity could be different.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's. That you would chop it after. Anyway, there are so many recipe rules that. That I did not know until I started.
Do you find that, when you talk to chefs around here, where do they shop, if not for their restaurants, at least for their families? Are they going to farmers markets even for regular day-to-day cooking?
I think that a lot of the chefs around town, I think it's very interesting, but they are going to the farms. They're sourcing out local ingredients and seasonal. And plenty of the chefs that we know here in town, a lot of the ones that were in the cookbook, do source locally, mm-hmm. and they have farms they go to. They have their go-to person for beef that's local, or for lamb, and so I think it's a wonderful way to get back to the way we originally used to eat. And I think they're doing a good job. And every day another restaurant's opening that wants to source local. So I think the problem at some point in time is there going to be enough local good, you know, fresh food for all the restaurants? But I think there's more growers out there now that are starting this.
My guests this hour are Nancy Taylor, who is publisher of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth magazine, and Terry Taylor, who is editor of the magazine. They've got a new cookbook out called Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, The Cookbook. We'll come back to our conversation in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to join it, you can call 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. Jeff Whittington is stepping into the studio now. He is senior producer of Think and host of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, and he is here to update us on our goal for the hour. We want to get to 100 contributions for this hour of Think. We have a challenge grant working, Jeff.
That's right, Chris. The Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group, and that sounds kind of like fun. Square dancing is fun, by the way. I'm just going to go on the record and let everybody know that if you haven't done it since fifth grade, I fully endorse you going out and square dancing.
A little do-si-do.
Yeah, do it soon. They walk you through it. It's really mm-hmm. easy. So the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group has put up a $1,000 challenge to you, Think listeners. We have to garner 200 contributions by 2 p.m. Now, we say this all the time. We say we're going to have 7,000 contributions in 7 days, and we still need 2,000, you know, XXX contributions to finish the drive, and we need 200 by the end of the show. But really, Chris, our goal is actually, our genuine goal is just your participation. You listen, you like the show, you're enjoying this show, and you probably would love to get a copy of the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth Cookbook if you join the station with a $120 contribution. It's an incredibly beautiful book. And I guarantee if you're enjoying this conversation, you're going to want this. So, you know, really our main goal, when we strip away all the other stats and all the goals and everything, it's really just you.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number if you want to make your contribution over the phone. You can always do it online at kera.org, where you can choose how to pay, thank you gifts, different levels. All the information is there for you all the time. We would love to hear from you now. You know, you are aware already of what makes KERA different, what makes public radio different from everything else that is on the radio airwaves in North Texas. We just sound different. We talk about different things. We have a different tone very often. We're not having a debate between these two sisters about the best way to prepare something. You know,
we probably could.
We could, yeah. But yeah, could, sister. If anybody knows how to debate, it's sisters. But
right.
But you know, we really value, and we know you value, civil discourse and respect for different points of view, and taking a look at all the many issues that exist in our world today from a variety of different angles. We don't necessarily look at 12 angles on one day. today, but over the course of a year in this show, you will sort of hear different perspectives on things. We're really delighted and blessed to be able to bring you this as our audience, to know that you care about this content. The way you can let us know that you care about it, that you want it on the air, that it matters to you, is by making a contribution. 1-888-694-6931.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. Go to kera.org and make your contribution there. If that's more convenient, if that's easier for you. We're talking a lot about local food. We were talking earlier in the show about farmers markets and meeting the farmer and you know, locally grown home. Well, this is the homegrown tomatoes of radio journalism. You know where it's coming from. You know who's creating this show. We do it for you every single day right here at the KERA studios. You know who our local news team is. You probably meet some of them out in the wild from time to time. You know who's reporting on the arts because they're right here in North Texas. That's what we're asking you to do, is just to support your local source for all this incredible programming that not only comes from here in North Texas, but also from all over the world. That's what public radio is all about. So in a sense, it's the homegrown peaches. It's backyard chicken eggs, basically.
You know, Jeff, yesterday you were teasing me because I mentioned that occasionally I bring a scented candle as a gift for my host if I'm invited somewhere. Maybe this will be my new go-to gift.
Wow.
The Edible Dallas and Fort Worth Cookbook, right? Who wouldn't love that? You usually go to someone's house and they love to cook, and it's a perfect thing.
I'm telling you, I'm shocked that we still have, it looks like, 58 contributions to go this hour to make our goal. Because if you just look at the cover of this book, and you can see it on the Think page at kera.org/think, you're going to want to look, you want to turn the page. You're going to want to see what's inside. And it's a great way to share what's going on in the food scene here with someone maybe who's moved away, or maybe you've moved away. Maybe you're listening to the podcast. Well, we can ship this to you wherever you are in the world when you join the station with a $120 contribution. It just takes a minute. Call 888-694-6931. Go online to kera.org. And don't forget, there's a challenge in play today. We actually do need to hear from at least 200 listeners by 2 p.m. so that KERA can accept a $1,000 contribution from the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group.
Choose a variety of thank you gifts, but if you want to make a contribution of $120 or more, we would love to thank you with a copy of the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth The Cookbook. That's available, again, as a $120 contribution level thank you gift at kera.org or 1-888-694-6931. In addition, Jeff, to your wife's fantastic recipe for chocolate cream pie, there are like tips on almost every other page about how to choose produce, how to know what's fresh, how to prepare things. So it's really a great piece of work.
It's a resource. It's something you're going to want in your kitchen. Check it out online at kera.org or call 888-694-6931. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more conversation.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a multidisciplinary program that allows you the intellectual freedom to design your own master's degree. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with the editor and publisher of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth magazine and Edible Dallas and Fort Worth The Cookbook, Terry Taylor and Nancy Taylor. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call in to 1-800-933-5372. Nancy, in the break, we were talking about the fact that in the cookbook, there are the recipes and there are ideas about where to find locally sourced foods, but there are also a lot of stories in this book.
Right, and Terry can talk about that.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, the most joyous thing about the book, putting it together, was, I mean, because it was done so fast, but you wanted to stop with each person who was submitting these recipes. I mean, some of these are very personal recipes. And I was thinking of Beverly Thomas with Cold Springs Farm. I mean, she has 5 recipes in here, I think, because I just was so enamored with her stories of growing up in Mississippi and her grandparents and the farm, and every recipe had a little family story. Or thinking of Kim Pierce's grandmother, this is okra with brown butter, and just the image of this West Texas grandmother holding her apron up to gather the okra and from the garden, to me, was just so cool. And it just, I could keep going on. There's just a million family stories that I just, you know, found just so, they're treasures.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also get to us by sending email to think@kera.org. We have Fernando on the line now in Dallas. Hi, Fernando.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
You know, I've been listening to the show, and I was really intrigued about chayote, and I'm originally from Mexico, so I've had chayote before, but I wanted to comment on tortillas. Tortillas are part of Dallas and Southwest cuisine, and a lot of people only think about tortillas in tacos, but coming from Mexico, we've used tortillas in desserts, in canapes, and many other ways. In fact, one of my favorite recipes is using a flour tortilla as a crepe, and you put caramel on it and bananas and use that dessert. So I don't know if you guys could comment a little bit about different recipes with tortillas and what you guys think about that.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for your call.
It does sound great. And now I'm a corn tortilla nut. I have corn tortillas probably three a day in some manner. We grew up in San Antonio, so, you know, the whole Mexican cuisine was a big part of our upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And of course, tortillas are, you can make them yourself,
right.
But there are lots of great places in the area where you can find them made by people who do this all the time and make them hot and fresh and delicious. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also email think@kera.org. So we really ought to talk a little bit more about some of the people who are raising beef in this area. And you have a nice little profile in the cookbook of Burgundy Pasture Ranch in Grandview.
Yeah, John and Wendy Taggart are down in Grandview, and I had the privilege of going down there and riding around on John's Kubota with him. And his whole approach to it was just so amazing to me. It's all about pasture management for him. And he's about my age, as an Aggie. He took a lot of grief, you know, for the manner he chose to use in terms of the grasses. I mean, he can name these, every grass has a season, and he rotates, his herd around. And it's, to me, then they have a little, what would you say? You can order beef there at their little store, and they'll make hamburgers for you there. And their hamburgers are just to die for. They're great.
And they have a lot of local produce there, too.
Mm-hmm. And Greenlink's delivery service has Burgundy Pasture Beef in their delivery service.
Right.
So you can
also
get it here in Dallas.
The new restaurant Start on Greenville Avenue that's about fresh food, they're also using their Burgundy Beef in their hamburgers.
How did we get lucky enough to have a place locally that actually makes fresh mozzarella, which is nothing like the shrink-wrapped plastic Play-Doh form that is sold in many grocery stores?
I'll tell you, that was part of, we're referring to Paula Lambert Mozzarella Company, and she was such a delight to interview. I mean, if you think this is 30 years now, I mean, their anniversary. And so she comes from that 1980s, when the Southwestern cuisine was emerging, and she took the lead of the chefs, and she started, you know, putting various chilies and just, you know, playing with cheese in ways that there weren't many artisan cheese makers around at the time. She's one of the original people. And she's so generous in the sense that I don't sense any competition. I mean, there are so many great cheesemakers around the North Texas right now. And she just seems so pleased with the fact that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. What do you hear from people who read the magazine? Is it mostly people who are cooking at home but who are really, really into food?
You know, I think it's a big combination. I mean, you know, it's a huge combination of people.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from callers. You know, if you're reading the magazine, I'd love to hear from you.
They all love the recipes and the stories. But, yes, I think it's a lot of home cooks and, mm-hmm. and chefs and everyone who reads the magazine.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We have Dave on the line now in Dallas. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Long-time listener. This is really interesting to me. I have a daughter. There's two daughters, 1-7, 1-3, and they cook with me, and they want to have a garden next spring. They're very interested. Where can I go for them to learn more about gardening? I'm from a farm in Nebraska, but gardening down here is much different. Where could they go to learn more about when to start the gardens and what to do?
Thanks for your call.
There's a lot of great garden centers out there. North Haven Garden will put you in the right direction. There's the Texas Worm Ranch. They will help you with knowing more about putting in a garden. Do you have any other ideas, Terry?
I don't. Did we hear where he lives? He lives in Dallas?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I would say North Haven Gardens would be great. Of course, that's my go-to place because that's my neighborhood. But I do think, North Haven Gardens would be one of my top picks for me.
Right.
And a lot of people, it seems like, are growing herbs now. If they don't do a whole garden, they at least have things in their garden. Are there particular items that grow very well in this part of the country, in Fort Worth and in Dallas, that we can have in our garden without maybe committing to, you know, a lot of land?
It really depends on the weather right now. Terry, I know you grow some herbs.
I have rose, you know, in the winter. I mean, I have rosemary going. And then I usually just have pots of everything from parsley to rosemary to oregano to cilantro is one of my favorite things to cook with. It doesn't do well in the heat, so it's not good. For some reason, I guess, when I very first began, I thought, oh, it'll do fine.
It seems like
it
should grow well here.
It does seem like it's something that goes with spicy food. It should be in summer. And to me, that's one of the joys. I mean, I honestly have a difficult time with the garden because we have a lot of shade in our yard, but I have pots and pots of herbs. And to me, to go out and pick some fresh herbs to cook with is just, you know, it's a delight.
I always like it because I'm very, very, very tight with my money, and I feel like I'm saving money. Every time I go out there and pull some basil off or some rosemary.
But you are, right.
Exactly. We shouldn't neglect to mention that there are drink recipes in here as well. And talk about sort of how you decided what you were going to include and some of the flavors that are included there.
Well, some of them are alcoholic, some are not. One of my favorite non-alcoholic ones is from Eva Greer at Greer Farm. It's her black and blue lemonade with blackberries and blueberries. And we've had the privilege of being at Greer Farm and sitting on the porch and drinking that lemonade. So we've loved that. Hunter Hammett, who's a sommelier down in the Pyramid Restaurant, helped me with – I'm going to have to turn to the recipe, but it's the – let's see, the Texas – Texas two-step sipper is what we called it. And so it's sort of a peach blend with some vodka. Dripping Springs is what we called for, with some peach bitters and local honey and black tea. There's a persimmon Bellini recipe from Tom Motley, who's a wonderful organic gardener or grower at McKinney, and Tom and Becca Motley. And he's got several recipes in here, but one is his persimmon Bellini recipe. And he had a great story about, you know, remembering the Texas persimmons in his grandmother's yard and the grandmother's tree.
And they do grow beautifully around here.
They do. I think some of them can be quite bitter. I think he's growing a different variety, but,
I think we have time to take one final call. Let's hear from Margaret in Highland Village. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just want to say that I think it's so commendable that such emphasis has been placed on community gardens and people growing their own. I've just moved into this area, and I was curious to know if there is a community garden in the Highland Village, Flower Mound, or Louisville area that people could become members of.
Have you heard anything out there, or is there a good place where Margaret might look online or something?
I'd be glad to look into that if you'd like. But online, I think that you can look up – there's a community gardens website, right, for Dallas?
Right. I mean, it's still a little ways from Coppell. I'm sure, you know, Coppell has a great community garden. But, you know, that's the closest one I think that we're both aware of. But I'm sure – I mean, there's community gardens all over the place.
And they're popping up all the time at churches.
That we are certainly not aware of.
Everywhere.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with the cookbook and the magazine moving
forward. Thank you very much.
Terry Taylor is editor of Edible Dallas in Fort Worth. Nancy Taylor is the publisher of that magazine, and they are also editor and publisher of Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, the cookbook. Thanks to all of you who have participated this hour, who are listening with us, who are interested in the content, and thanks especially to those of you making contributions. We have 40 donations left to get by the end of the hour, which should be easy to do now that this interview portion of the hour has finished, and you can take just a couple of minutes to make your contribution now. 1-888-694-6931 is the phone number. You can also go online to kera.org. Choose as your thank you gift a copy of Edible Dallas in Fort Worth, the cookbook, with a contribution of $120 or more. We would be happy to send it to you. It really is just a beautiful cookbook. This is a true story. When the books come in, very often if it's a cookbook, Jeff and I will sort of argue over who gets to keep it when the show is done. And because Jeff's wife, Nicole, has a recipe featured in here, I said, well, you can have this. But thankfully, they already had their own copy, and I was very excited to be able to take mine home. And we would love for you to have one as well. Most importantly, we would love to have your support of the station and of this content, which really does focus, particularly in today's show, on this North Texas area.
Although I think after what you said in earlier break, Chris, you probably have some dinner invitations in your inbox. Since you said you're going to be bringing this book as a host gift.
I know. All of a sudden, I'm going to be on the line.
It's really important we hear from you because we want to wrap up this membership campaign tomorrow, if at all possible, because that's our goal. 7 days, 7,000 contributions. 200 contributions during Think Today. And why? Well, because we want to stay on track and because the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group has put a challenge in play, $1,000, $1,000 for 200 contributions by 2 p.m. If we reach that goal with your call to 888-694-6931 or your online gift at kera.org, KERA will be able to accept an additional $1,000 from the generous folks over at the Arlington Casuals Square Dance Group. I can't imagine why you would not want to support the station, especially when this cookbook is up for grabs for a $120 contribution. It's beautiful. It's got an incredible array of all different kinds of recipes in it, and they're all from people right here in North Texas.
We were talking earlier in the hour, Jeff, about why community cookbooks are so vital. They're sort of this snapshot in time of the way we eat and how we value food, and you can look at similar cookbooks from 60 years ago and understand how things have changed. I think they make a wonderful sort of heirloom document. But I also think that there is a real need for community owned and operated media organizations. You know, so many things are big and global and controlled from New York or Los Angeles or Chicago. This station is programmed entirely by people who live and work in this community. Yes, we take some programs from NPR and PRI and the BBC that come from all over the world and bring you a global perspective. But the truth is that decisions about what will be on the air here are made in North Texas by people who, you know, live and work right beside you in your neighborhoods and in your community. That is worth your support at any level at 888-694-6931 or online at kera.org. It'd be wonderful to hear from a friend this hour, Jeff. These are members who join at or above the $125 level and per month and $1,500 a year. There are lots of special benefits to go with that. But most importantly, you can really think of yourself as a benefactor of public radio in your community.
Just want to read a couple of recipe titles here. We've got the baby bib and shaved radishes with applewood smoked bacon and green goddess dressing. These are all in the edible cookbook that's offered today at the $120 membership level. There's the dill and caper gulf shrimp dip, Grand Mary's fried green tomatoes. I'm opening the book at random here. The maple curry acorn squash soup.
I've been wanting to make that ever since I saw the recipe.
Roasted sweet potato ravioli with sage and hazelnut brown butter. Oh, there is the slow-braised chuck roast, after all, the grilled New York strip. These are fantastic, and the photographs are incredible.
I'm thinking of people hunching over their sad lunches right now that came in a brown bag and that are really just dying for all these delicious things.
You probably don't have a slice of Texas grapefruit pie for dessert today, but you could make one when you pick up your very own copy of the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth, the cookbook, with a $120 contribution to KERA right now at 888-694-6931 or online at kera.org. Still says we have 40 contributions to go this hour to stay on track and to make our goal for the hour. I'll bet we're doing better than that, but here's one more incentive for you. Remember, when you make your gift of support to KERA today, you're going to be entered in the drawing to win an incredible 11-day all-expenses-paid trip all over Australia. Sydney, Melbourne, the Blue Mountains. You can read about it at kera.org/Australia. You can enter without making a contribution, but when you make a contribution, you're automatically entered. It's so easy. You're killing multiple things off your to-do list with just one act, and it's an act that you're going to feel good that you did when you support your public radio station.
And the odds are still pretty good. If we're looking at 7,000 contributions for this drive, a 1 in 7,000 chance, it's not bad. You've got higher chances of a lot of other things happening to you. that are not nearly as exciting as this. It really is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. There's a sommelier's city walk in Melbourne that's supposed to be phenomenal. You got a different, of course, Australian wines are really sort of rising in prominence, and you got a different wineries around the city, different restaurants. There is this private yacht tour in Sydney Harbour. There is this walking over the bridge in Sydney that overlooks the harbour. There are a couple of wildlife preserves that you get into before they're really open to the public, so that you can interact with the animals in a way that
camping.
Is... No, it's not camping.
Okay.
No, in fact, you stay at a really nice, two different boutique hotels.
No, it's nice.
It's not for you. Camping would be a plus, but
me,
I want sheets and a shower.
Yeah, these are all luxury outfitters. It's a luxury getaway. It's 11 days, and it's worth $11,000. What a fantastic opportunity for you if you call now, 888-694-6931. Make a $120 contribution or just $10 a month. We'll thank you with the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth Cookbook, your very own copy, and we'll enter you to win the incredible Discover Down Under Australia trip.
Your participation makes public radio what it is. You certainly make this show what it is. When you call, when you email, when you write us with suggestions and responses to the shows that we do, we love that you are out there listening. We need more of you, quite frankly, to make contributions to keep the station solid and to continue knowing that we can bring you this programming. We can expand our offerings for you online so that you can time shift and listen whenever you want to the podcast. Your dollars make all of that possible at 1-888-694-6931 and online at kera.org. Pick up a copy with a $120 gift of the Edible Dallas and Fort Worth Cookbook. That's our gift to you today, so we'd love to hear from you now. 888-694-6931.